Hello, welcome back to Inspiring African Travel. This is James here, and I'm super pumped to introduce you to our brand new travel series. Drumroll, are you ready? It's deep. This one is deep. The title of our next series is Africa's Transformational Travel Power. You probably saw it in the title anyway before you clicked this podcast, but hopefully this is going to be a really great little journey. If you've been following our podcast over the years, you know, we've covered all sorts, women in travel, we've dedicated series to hidden gems, but this one's going to be a little bit different. We're just going to take a topic that I really feel we've been hearing more and more in the travel circles these days, and that's transformational travel. But what does it actually mean? Because over the years, we've been confronted with a whole bunch of different terminology when it comes to travel, whether it's responsible travel, eco-tourism, sustainable travel. There was even revenge travel after COVID. So is it another industry buzzword, or is there something genuinely profound about what is happening to people when they travel to Africa? I'm sure it comes as no surprise to you that Stuart and I think that Africa definitely does have this very unique ability to change people. And we're not talking about in the way of, oh, I saw such amazing wildlife, the lodges were amazing, and that kind of thing, but more deep, lasting, and potentially life-altering ways. And I'm sure we're not alone in thinking this. So in the coming few episodes, we're going to be chatting with some really fascinating people. We've even lined up some travelers who went to Africa for the first time and really were transformed by their experiences over there. We've lined up guides who pretty much witness firsthand and play a crucial role in the transformative experience and process of their guests and travelers. And of course, we'll be talking to some travel industry insiders who really understand what it is about Africa and potentially can help us understand a little bit about where the industry has come from and where it's going. Now, to kick things off properly, I caught up with co-founder Stuart into what turned out to be quite an epic chat, as always. And we jumped into one of the Treadlight Suzuki Jimneys, which I have become a huge fan of. And we picked it up in Durban and drove out to a lovely little coastal game reserve called Bonamanzi Game Reserve. And you'll hear us chat as we bumble along through the game reserve. And then we drove right across KwaZulu-Natal and finished just over the border in Mpumalanga at a place called Wakkerstroom, which is a birder's paradise and a lovely little artsy town. During our drive, we kind of introduced what we're going to be achieving out of this series and setting it up for where it's going to go. And in order to do that, we decided to talk about our three most profound transformational travel experiences that we've had in Africa in our time here. And some of them might actually surprise you. I'm sure maybe others will resonate deeply, but all of them help us set the stage for what we hope is going to be a really meaningful and enjoyable series. So settle in. Let's explore what happens when travel becomes more than just travel, and expect some pretty light-hearted, relaxed conversations interspersed with some really deep chats. That's how we like to do it as we wind our way through the beautiful South African countryside. So thanks so much for being patient and coming back, tuning in, whether it's your first time or you've been with us many other times. Welcome, and we hope you enjoy it.
Where?
Okay, I've got the map.
Okay.
We've got the direction. Are we heading...
We're just going straight down this road, right?
Yeah.
Where does it end up?
At T-junction. Okay, set the scene, Stooge.
So we are in the Bonamanzi Game Reserve, which is in the northern KwaZulu-Natal in the kind of bushveld area. Near, it's not far from Shishlui Game Reserve.
Is this your... I'm in the bush.
Yeah.
Keeping my voice down.
Oh, was it?
We aren't actually going to a funeral.
Oh, no. Okay, sorry. So get pumped. Get a bit more excited. So we're in Bonamanzi. So it's near the Shishlui Game Reserve. If you know where that is, James.
Well, it's in our favorite province in South Africa?
Yeah.
KwaZulu-Natal?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love the variety about KZN. Eh? I've always banged on about that.
And we've had variety on this little road trip here.
This place has been cool.
Has it been transformative?
I think almost, you know. I mean, it's been a new experience for me because, I mean, I think we both had this like weird, when we saw the tree houses, we think we've been here before.
When we were kids.
When we were kiddos. But I can't confirm that yet. So let's call it a new experience for me.
Yeah. So, well, the beauty of this particular episode and this series is that we don't think that transformative travel has to be one thing or the other.
No.
It could be the most, what someone might find the most insignificant experience or something that's rather trivial that has really transformed somebody else.
Yeah.
That we're used to, maybe, that we've traveled around Africa all the time, that somebody for the first time just absolutely transforms them in their life. And then the other beauty of what I think this episode will potentially achieve or deliver is the fact that we're recording this now, figuring out what the series is all about and what we're going to chat about, essentially, because we haven't really scripted or planned our chat today.
No.
Or the location, for that matter, as we bumble along.
So in many ways, this may be a transformative podcast episode about transformative travel. Have you ever thought about that?
That's another layer of deepness considered.
In a destination that's quite transformative since we've never experienced it before. I mean, driving some of these roads has been pretty cool because, like, you just, like I said earlier, it's like a self-driver's paradise because you're driving and then, like, there's no road. You're just, like, on your own adventure somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It's amazing.
We've got, like, semi... coastal, I don't know if that is a technically a scientific term, but it's, to me, it's semi-coastal vegetation on either side. It's definitely, it's got beach vibes because we're close to the sea and it's beach sand kind of track. And the Jimny is just cruising through this without any problems at all.
Yeah.
Loving it, Stooge. Thanks again for...
No, of course, man.
Setting this
it's
up.
Actually quite cool being in the shorter one, the short wheelbase one on this trip because it's well suited for this, right? It's nuggety. I mean, in a couple of those areas where we kind of felt we should turn around because you really ran out of road, it was quite easy in this bush environment to just swing the car around and head in the other direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as we record along, we may pause because we've got to consult our map and because we set off at 6 a.m. It's winter, so it was pitch dark, and we went off to find a nice little early morning drive, did some birding,
saw some buffalo.
Stu booked out the tread light table and chairs, and we had a nice coffee in the fever trees.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool. And now we're heading off to our next birding destination, which is Wakkerstroom, which is heading towards the way to Johannesburg, where we'll be back home. And yeah, so this is our chance to explore our own definition of transformative travel. What our top three transformative travel experiences in Africa since we've been around doing our thing. And what I'm keen to get out of this is that we don't know what we're going to learn when we set about talking to all these other interviewees and guests. And so we'll see. Let's not put this episode out and then release it and then other people can listen to it as we go. Like, I think the key will be we record this whole series and then we come back together at the end and see what we've learned from everybody else.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Because I think, I mean, transformative is the word. The phrase transformative travel is definitely has many different meanings to different people, so it's going to be interesting to see what people define as a transformative travel experience and why.
And I think it's fair to say that, like, the word transformative or transform. I mean, by definition, it's a significant change. It's a it physically changes you. And I can say physically because potentially it transforms your way of thinking and your way of doing, which can have a massive impact on your body and your health. That's one way to look at it. It could be from a fitness point of view. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so many, it's got to be, transformative travel has to be something significant.
Well, we James does a map check.
Yeah, I mean, I also think, like, it could be like a whole trip that you go on that really dramatically shifts your perspective about something. And then when you get back home, you like, the way you see the world or the way you see things is different because that trip had such a big impact on you. Or it could also be like a moment within a trip where you're traveling and something happens on your trip that really has like this profound impact on you, and it just stays with you for years to come or whatever. You often think back on that moment and you're like, oh, okay, you know, this was a truly incredible experience for whatever reason for you as an individual, and it has a positive impact on your life, right?
Yeah. Well, let's get straight into it. Mm. Can you think of one that's happened to you?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I think when I was younger, probably one of the best transformative trips that I ever had, and it was because I was quite new to the travel industry. I just started working at Wilderness Safaris, and I was given this opportunity to go on the Mana Pools Canoe Trail. And I kind of, as a youngster, I'd heard about it. Actually, my father did the trip with my brothers when I was very young, and I wasn't allowed to go because I was too young to travel, and it was a very wild experience. So I had to stay home with my mom. And I kind of remember that as a kid because I was gutted. You know, my dad and two brothers went on this amazing canoe adventure and I had to stay at home. So when I was suddenly offered this opportunity to go and do it as an educational with Wilderness Safaris, it was like a no-brainer. It was like, hey, this is my opportunity to do this thing. So I just said yes straight away, like not really knowing what I was getting myself into. You know, most of the other consultants didn't want to do it because, you know, the thought of being on a canoe for 4 days, paddling down the Zambezi River, which is arguably one of our wildest rivers from a wildlife and a hippo and a crocodile perspective. So no one really wanted to go and do it except for a small group of people. So yeah, off we went, and it was incredible, man. It was just such an incredible experience to be out there paddling in the middle of nowhere. We camped in tents on the side of the river. I mean, we didn't see a lot of wildlife. But it's not really about that, you know. It was about just being in that space.
Oh, but on the Zambezi River, camping, like in little fly tents, on the sandbanks.
Absolutely. I mean,
it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
And you talked about, I mean, let's be honest, it's quite interesting that people from South Africa working in the African travel space were fearful about going on a trip in Africa. It doesn't, like, something doesn't sit right there.
Yeah.
Okay. And so one of the reasons definitely you would have joined it, forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but definitely is that aspect of, like, you feel a little bit vulnerable. And that is something that has to be transformative.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's you're outside, you're way outside of your comfort zone, right? Because it's not something you've done before. It wasn't something that I had done before. And I mean, I knew that it was going to be like a real adventure, like, you know, kind of camping on the side of the river. But you don't really know what you're in for. But that's in itself is what made it such a transformative experience. And I think I like really, I mean, at that stage, it's also I was really into photography. So I had to make a lot of plans to have this, all my photography equipment on this boat. But I had so many incredible images. And experiences, it just blew me away, you know. I just saw like what Africa and what Southern Africa really is all about, and it really just solidified my kind of love for being out there in the wild and enjoying our wild spaces, you know. And I think my appreciation for Southern Africa really grew on that trip.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
That is something definitely I want to do, and I want to touch on the risk factor, because I'll definitely do it. I know my mate Clive, he actually did safaris up there for a while before I met him in Botswana. And you know, there's some moments where there's some big crocodiles around you and stuff, but how do you navigate that from an international guest perspective, and you know, talking about those risks and whether you should or shouldn't do it, and how do you go about that?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is, obviously, probably the biggest challenge is the hippos, because it's a big river and there are a lot of hippos. But you have to the first thing you've got to do is obviously book with a reputable company, right? So, because it's all about the guides and their ability to help you navigate those areas. You put a lot of trust in your guides, and they need to have their wits about them and know where to go. I mean,
what those hippos don't pop out of nowhere, like, they know where they are.
Yeah,
they can
exactly.
See them in the distance, so it's...
Absolutely, yeah. And you also got to remember that those guides do that canoe trail. You know, it's on a four-day cycle. They're probably doing it several times a month. So they know that river like the back of their hand. And you're right, they know the hippo are in the deeper waters, or if they're on the banks of the river, they always, you know, hippo are always running into the deeper waters because that's kind of their safe space. So that was what the guides really taught us, is, you know, you don't want to be, don't get yourself between the hippos and the deeper water. So, you know, that was really important for us. And, you know, we just followed the guides and listened to them. And you know, we never really felt like we were in danger. We didn't have any hairy moments or anything like that, despite seeing loads and loads of hippos. I mean, the one morning we woke up and the guards were like, this morning we're going through Hippo City, which was crazy. I mean, we just navigated these pools along, but right against the banks, you know, kind of like going around them. But it was an incredible experience.
Ah, of course, too. And being on a canoe, it's like being on a walking safari. You are much, much more connected to the river, to the land, to the animals.
Yeah. And it's easy paddling, because you're going with the river. So it's not like you're working really, really hard. So you can sit in your canoe and put the paddle down and just take it in, you know, as you kind of like drift down the river, navigating around between the different little islands and so on.
And you're using your body, you're physically like canoeing, as you say, it's not highly strenuous, but you're grafting a little bit.
Yeah, you're still doing the exercise, you know. And then you also get off the banks and onto the banks, and you can walk a little bit. We did walk bits and pieces, but it really is about kind of like drifting down the river and seeing what wildlife comes to you. Yeah,
great. Well, geez, I'm gonna have a hard time. That I think is every aspect of transformative travel experiences is you've nailed in one shot there. I think that's. I'm going to be hard pushed to figure something out. And to be honest, I mean, we haven't got any stats to hand, but like the risks of driving on motorways and roads in Western countries with the amount of accidents and the risks of all the vehicles in all the different directions, the chances of you having an accident are a lot higher than what they are in terms of statistics versus of coming into an incident on a safari or on a canoe trail like that.
Yeah.
So yes, the risks are a little bit higher, but... It's, you know, we're presented with risks in every day of our lives, and
absolutely
just got to get out there and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think you really want to, I mean, being in somewhere where you're a little bit out of your comfort zone is part of the experience, right? I mean, that's one of the reasons why you do it and why it's transformative.
Exactly.
Because you go there with a bit of fear and a bit of facing the unknown, and when you come out the other side, there's this massive sense of achievement.
Yeah.
Plus all the incredible experiences you had along the way. I mean, that is what makes it a transformative experience for me.
Cool. Well, I'm gonna start off mine with a transformative travel experience that involved traveling with you, Stu.
Which is
because I'm that kind of mate.
Yeah.
I mean, I just go straight in there.
You just straight to the deep one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
lay it out there.
You talk about your selfish trips out there on your own whilst we're traveling together and forget that your best mate's here sitting in the car with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably should have gone with something. No, but you give it. Give us
the rundown. Do you know which one it's going to be?
I think I know.
Yeah, look, I can't remember if in previous episodes we've talked about it, but I mean, I wanted, when I was living in Germany, I was desperate to come and live back in Africa, and I wanted to be somewhere in the wild, and you just happened to be in Botswana managing camps at the time, and I think there was a moment where you actually just said you should come out and do this.
I did.
Anyway, one thing led to another, but a few years down the line you went back to Johannesburg and you were starting up your own travel company.
Yeah.
And that was when I was at Desert and Delta, and I said, Stu, we need to go on the content mission.
Mm.
I mean, that was before the idea of having a podcast came around, but we started the hashtag when hashtags were cool.
Yeah.
Hashtag this is Chobi.
Yes.
And we started a whole Twitter safari, and we did that whole Twitter safari in Chobi Game Lodge, and we had so much fun. But then we went out into Savuti. because Savuti is an area of Chobe that you knew very well from the wilderness side when you were on the western side, and then obviously from desert and delta perspective of having Savuti Safari Lodge there. And it was at the time we went down there to go and spend, I think, 3 nights there.
Yeah.
To go and get footage, animal footage, experiences of the camps, reflect on the whole This Is Chobe trip.
Yes.
And the Savuti channel had just come back and it had been flowing for a couple of years. And it kind of petered off for a while and then it came in with another push.
Yes.
And we spent 2 days down there, flat out, all day, every day, driving, exploring. We went out to the marsh, we saw pelicans, we saw leopard. And I just remember having a moment, and this is the key part of potentially a really transformative travel experience, is being aware in the moment. And I think that is key.
Like, absolutely.
If you can have a pinch yourself moment and go, wow, I am in this environment. We were out there in the marsh. It was hot. October, the weather was building. The marsh was just starting to fill up at the end of the channel. And you could just see that like simmering haze of like heat, but then that quenching thirst of the marsh water around and the buffaloes and those trees. I just remember at the moment at that stretch point getting out there with the shoes off and just going, Stu, this is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that was an amazing experience, and we were fortunate to have spent, I think we spent three nights, and we got to, which is quite rare, you're having, you know, working in the industry to spend that much time in one place.
Yeah, we did that one afternoon where we stayed at the deck.
Yes.
And we must have seen more than 1,000 elephants that afternoon.
I think it was just the entire afternoon. We just had elephants one after the other. In fact, we were trying to video ourselves talking about it. And it was so hot that my camera was crashing. Do you remember that? I was getting red lights, overheating. We had to keep turning the camera off. But the elephant interaction was just mind-blowing. So
I did a time-lapse as well.
Yeah.
I remember that. I had that time-lapse in my presentation, showing like,
yes,
this is what happens when you spend an afternoon at Savuti Safari Lodge watching the waterhole. But that point, it was the channel.
Yeah.
The channel was flowing, but the elephants would still come over the channel and drink from the waterhole because they like that sweeted water.
Yeah.
And the... just...
But I mean, that day that you're referring to, so we got in the vehicle, we basically spent the whole day out with the guide, right? It was Obed, wasn't it? What's his name?
G.
And it was incredible to just drive in that river and follow the Savuti channel. And we didn't actually, I think what's important on that day is like we were gathering content, but we weren't chasing after anything. We just let it all come to us, right? I mean, we spent the whole day out. And I think that was what made that experience so unique. There was like, in some ways, no expectation to see big game, which I think you quickly get lost in. And but at the same time, we just took in all these incredible experiences.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, is not trying to make something happen in a day.
Mm.
And that's the biggest mistake that every kind of visitor potentially makes when they come out and they go, oh, I want to see this and I want to see that. It's like, no, it's not how it works on a trip to Africa, especially on a safari.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's hard as a foreigner. You come here, you got your one shot on safari, or you got your one opportunity to travel to Africa. You naturally have a bucket list. But I think the moment you let that bucket list go, or that wildlife list of things you desperately want to see, you forget about that. That's when it becomes a transformative experience. Mm. Because it allows you to open your mind to kind of like what the place has to offer. And that in itself kind of like changes your perspective.
Yeah. I met a guy, a really interesting professor of law from Harvard, and he was a very deep thinking individual. I had a 2-hour lunch with him on the deck at Namasiri, and he was just starting his safari, and he was asking me a lot of questions about where he was going, what he was going to do. And one thing he, at one point, you know, I think this day is a bit different from when I was. When I was younger, I might have been very intensively helping him and making sure that he was prepared and in the right mindset for his trip, you know, put his mind at ease. But at one point I just said to him, Richard, just go with the flow.
Yeah.
Just like, I can't tell you what you're going to see and how you're going to see it. I have a good idea of where you're going. And he was doing a mobile safari, and then he was ending off at the Makhadi Khadi.
Wow.
I was just let the environment lead.
Yes.
And he wrote to me when he got back.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he said basically that those words stuck with him, and
oh, wow.
allowed him, you know, that moment to reflect. And I think that's the key, is that it's if you can try and go somewhere with purpose to say, okay, I want this environment to transform me. I want this moment to, you know, I just want to let the place try and discover me and for me to discover it.
So wait a minute. I think I'm going to be a bit bold here, but maybe perhaps your lunch on the deck at Namaseri was a transformative experience for him.
Maybe.
Right? Because you changed his perspective as to how he should experience the trip. And he went and did that. And then he came out the other end with this incredible, you know, I mean, he took the time to write you a mail and say, listen, James, you know, this stuck with me. So, you know, maybe it's as simple as like that shifted his mindset and made all the difference. Boy, that's a bit loud, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've just left the park. So we've gone windows up now and then...
We've got a hybrid road now, so we probably will... Do you have another transformative travel moment that you can share with me?
Yeah, let's chat about something different as we go to Shishlui. So, you know, our work on Tread Light is part of this amazing race event every year where we invite agents to experience different properties from the Cape Country Roots Group in the Western Cape.
Oh, cool.
And basically what we do is as we put the itinerary together, but they don't know where they're going. So it's a bit like the Amazing Race. You know, they have... So we offer a whole lot of experiences and accommodations, but they never know where they're going from one point to the next. It's all a big surprise. And that kind of creates a bit of mystery and stuff around the trip. So, but anyway, that's a side note. So at one of the stops on the first Amazing Race we did, we spent in a little town called Berrydale. Which and in this really cool hotel, it's called the Karoo Art Hotel. That's my punt done for the day. Basically, what the owner of the hotel does is every single morning he gets up and goes and swims in the Trudeau Pass in the river. It's like his early morning cold water swim.
Oh, sweet! That sounds like my kind of guy.
Yeah, and he calls it Berrydale 360 or something like that. But he does it every single morning. He takes his coffee and he goes down there, him and his wife and their dog. I shouldn't mention the dog. Eh? They go down there every morning, himself and his wife, and they swim in the river. They do a little bit of meditation and then they jump in the water and swim. So what we did is we did this as part of the experience for these agents, and it was incredible to watch. Like, everyone got up really early. It's cold in that pass and the river's cold, there's no doubt, and everyone was like apprehensive. Like, you know, some people were like, I don't know if I'm gonna do it, or I don't want to get in the water, and we just kind of said to them, you know, don't worry guys, just come down there and experience it. You know, you don't have to. If you don't want to get in the river, then don't, you know. So off we went and we did this yoga, and it was nice and quiet in the middle of the Trudeau's Pass. It's incredibly beautiful. And then Rick and his wife jumped in the water, you know, the owners of the hotel, and they did their little swim. And then they had a couple locals as well from Berrydale who also jumped in and had a swim. And then slowly but surely, all of the people who were in our group just slowly started to get into the water.
Oh,
and it was
cool.
Just incredible to watch. Like, and I think that was like a... almost a transformative experience for a lot of those people. It was for me as well, because
cold swimming is all the rage.
Oh man,
because of the mental health benefits.
Yeah, it's so good. And I mean, I got in myself as well, and you know, you get that feeling like when it hits you, you know, the cold water, but then you just like taking the moment of where you are. You know, you're in this river in the middle of the pass. It's absolutely quiet and spectacular. And yeah, this is such an incredible experience. And then at the end of it, like, I mean, everyone gets out, like, everyone's hyped, you know what I mean? Like, everyone was nervous in the beginning, and now everyone's pumped up and ready to have like a good day and take on the rest of the adventure. So,
cool.
You know, when I book Berrydale, I always tell our guests, go and swim with Rick in the river. You know, that's a really cool experience.
Yeah, and that's such a great message to small lodge and property owners around Africa.
Yeah.
To say, do something unique and different.
Like, yeah.
Something like, what's the geezer's name?
Rick.
Rick. For Rick, that's just his thing. But now, he's now made his home and his daily experience something that's transformative and amazing for other people.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's cool? I mean, like, they... You know, he's a very successful businessman in South Africa. The hotel is like a new business project for him. So it's incredible to go and have that experience with him and just sit there and talk to him in the river and just, like, you know, learn someone else's life and someone else's story. Yeah, it's just an incredible experience. And I think they're probably doing that for guests, you know, every other day and really creating this transformative experience that's kind of really unique, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so where is that place exactly?
So Berrydale is on Route 62. So if you're driving, if you're driving the garden route up the back end, you're kind of in the mountain area, so it's not on the coastal road. So you go kind of towards Oatswer and go through Montague, Barrydale, and then it takes you down into Oatswer. So it's a very common route, but not a lot of people spend much time in Barrydale. It's a very small town. It's a very arty town and kind of in the farm areas. It's really unique, yeah.
And Rick, I don't know him, but he seems like the kind of guy that I don't reckon he has an Instagram page and tweets and shares his like daily morning swims. This is just something real.
Yeah. I mean, he does. I think he does share a bit of that stuff. But yeah, him and his wife, they're very genuine people. You know, they live out there. They love it. She's done an incredible job with the hotel. She does a bit of the design work. You know, like I say, they're businessmen by nature. So they've been very successful in other business adventures, and now they just experience life. You know, he's got such cool stories about how they made their business a success and what they've done. So like that in itself is an incredible experience. Okay, so now, yeah, that's my second one. That's a bit not so safari related, but what else have you got? What have you been thinking about?
Well, Jules and I traveled so much.
Yeah.
In Africa, it was our passion and it was our work. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there are so many moments that I could share. I don't know if I could go a little bit like off-piste and just say that all these trips that I did with Jules were transformative in a sense, because yeah. we fell in love through travel and we traveled together, and there were so many moments that I realized to myself that, having been a dirty bachelor for most of my adult life, I thought that being single would be more fun and independent, you know, like, oh, look, I can travel wherever I want and go wherever I want. But Jules made me realize that doing things as a partnership and traveling together makes the whole experience far more enlightening.
Yeah.
Because sharing an experience is so much better than having an experience on your own.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
I don't know, if I had to pick out one, I would probably pick out our pre-wedding honeymoon trip.
Yeah. You did pre-honeymoon, pre-wedding honeymoon rather than post-wedding, right?
Well,
you did it differently, like you guys like to do, right? On the fly.
We got engaged, and then, but we had the trip planned.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, why don't we, the trip was already there. So I was like, well, why don't we get married at the end of the trip? Anyway.
Nice.
We digress. But we went to Uganda and Rwanda.
Okay.
And it was always my dream to go to Rwanda.
Yeah.
My mate Bernard put this trip together. He runs a ground handler out of Uganda, and he does a lot of Rwanda trips.
Okay.
And he put together a really epic trip using his favorite lodges, and he got us into some amazing spots. And Jules and I, we're not big drinkers, especially Jules. But we took a little bottle of P.T. Isla single malt Ardbeg whiskey.
Yeah.
And our little evening ritual was to sit together before going to bed and have a little dram.
Nice.
And it's full of flavor and it's so smoky, and it was great because it allowed us that moment to sit together and chat and reflect on what we'd done in the day. And I think my favorite was when we went to that Silverback Lodge in Rwanda. It was the day before we did the Golden Monkeys.
Okay.
And it was cold because we were in the Virunga Mountains, and the guy, he set us up a fire, so he makes a massive fire inside your little stone chalet.
Oh wow.
And you went to dinner, and then he guided you back to your room, and when we got into the room, the fire was roaring.
Oh,
it was chilly, and we opened our little whiskey and we sat there, and yeah, those little moments were incredible. And again, kind of new at the time, like, this is special.
Yeah.
We're in the mountains, we're going to go and see a very rare monkey in the morning, and I loved it.
But you know, I mean, just like just listening to you talk about that, I mean, just thinking of it from an angle that I hadn't really thought about it before, it's like, for you and Jules, like, you had found that, and you guys shared that you had that love for travel and stuff. And in many ways, like, all of those journeys were transformative for you in bits and pieces, right? So as you traveled and as you journeyed and adventured together, so you took on these experiences, and they would have altered your life and your perspective one kind of moment at a time, even if it's in like a small thing, and you don't, at the time, you're not always like thinking about it. But when you look back on it now, like it's shaped who you are, right?
Mm.
Like those experiences that you've had with Jules and has dramatically shaped like your perspective and how you go about life now. You know, very open-minded, very kind of take on new experiences. It's what you love to do. And I don't think like if you hadn't had all of those moments with Jules traveling together, you probably wouldn't have a dramatically different outlook on life as you do now.
It's been a great drive, Steve,
yeah.
Today. I'll tell you why it's been a good drive for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we left Shishlui, we had both of us were umming and ahhing about our last choice of third most memorable transformational travel experience.
Yeah.
And we had lots of options and things like that. And what we did when we were driving along through the KZN countryside, off the beaten track roads,
yeah,
which is what Treadlight's all about.
Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful scenery, man. Mm-hmm. It was just gorgeous, and I had moments, didn't I, when we would get out the car, and I was just like, yes,
yeah,
because, and I've had a moment of realization, and that is that, I think. For me, transformative travel experience can be when you set out with intention.
Okay. Yeah.
And because like we were in the zone and things like that, you're so much more, I think we've already mentioned it already, so much more aware of the moment. And so I really enjoyed today throwing out different moments and thinking about it. And I think what a great way to end off this podcast is on a walk on foot.
Yeah.
Reflective. End of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a real good chuckle because I was thinking this morning when we were sitting in Bonamunzi Game Reserve, and I was like, last year it was freezing cold, you know, remember when we were in Lesotho?
Yes.
And then the year before that, we did the one in Johannesburg in the River Valley.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And we kept on making a joke. We were like, well, this is not really the African vibe that we're giving off here. Freezing our asses off like by frozen rivers and then... And here we are
in the cold.
Back here, we're at Vakkerstroom, which is like one of the famous bird watching destinations. And we're on a game farm called, what's it called?
Wetlands Game Lodge.
Game Lodge. And it's the sun's just about to set over the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wind whistling through the valley here.
Yeah.
Beanies and jackets are on. We're just crossing a dam. But it's pretty gorgeous, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's quite cool, right? You think we did wake up early this morning. We were in jackets there in Bonamunzi, but not for very long, right?
No.
By 7 o'clock that morning, beautiful. We were throwing jackets off into the car while we were trying to do our little film project. And then you head inland. I mean, we've done 300 kilometers, I think just over, maybe 300 and something. I can double check the figures. But going up into the higher ground, and it makes such a big difference on the temperature. It's so much cooler up here.
Nice. All right, go on then, Stooge. Last transformative travel experience that, I mean, there's always going to be many, but like one that really stands out for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, we chatted a bit in the car about it, because like you say, there are a lot, and we have been very fortunate to travel quite a lot in Southern Africa. So, but one that did stand out while we were talking was a trip I did long time ago to Namibia. You know, that's a very unique country, obviously being very complete contrast to something like Botswana or South Africa, because it's a desert environment, right?
Mm.
And we did our first night, we flew into Windhoek, jumped on an aeroplane and flew down to Sossusvlei, which is where you see the big famous I'm going to get
wet. Yeah, we've got a bit of a river crossing here.
Yeah? Yeah, excuse my break in discussions here while I don't get my feet wet. That's will right. be cold.
You weren't quite in the moment yet. You're just setting the scene.
Yeah, I was getting into it. Eh? So anyway, so we jumped on the aeroplane and flew to Sossusvlei, which is where you get those big dead flays in the middle of the red sand dunes, you know, and that's kind of the iconic picture that everyone pictures when you think about Sossusvlei. So we spent one night there, and the next morning we had to get up really early to go and get to the actual flay. It's like a bit of a day adventure. So I got up, I was in my room, the rooms are
on the top of this little hill. And it was dark because we got up so early. So I got up and I got myself ready. Oh, I think our wake-up call was 4 o'clock or 4:30. Wow. It was quite a long time ago, but it was around that time. And I just remember getting up and getting my camera gear ready and, you know, kind of like very nonchalant doing my thing. And then it was time to go. I picked up my bag and I walked outside of the room. And it was still dark. And, if you turn the lights off outside, I had a torch to make my way to the main area. And as I got out onto the deck, I was just hit in the face with the biggest sky full of stars that I've ever seen.
You were going to say that.
It was just absolutely, I just stood on this deck and these stars just presented themselves. It was just so incredible. And I'd never seen an open, clear sky like that before in my life. You know, I've been traveling a lot, but if you understand Namibia and how wide open that landscape is, that's why you get these massive, clear, open skies. And obviously there was no moon. So it was just, it took my breath away. I remember just standing there and having like this realization as to, how incredible the skies are. And again, how fortunate we are to be able to see those sort of things in a place like that, So, yeah, that's it really special. It was a big moment for me. And I really, from then on, my appreciation for the sky and the night sky and all of that, it just grew dramatically.
And what was that like? Can you think back to the moment? Like, I know it was a long time ago, but you remember you were took your breath away, literally.
Yeah.
And you had to get ready to get going. But
yeah.
Was there an emotion that you can recall that welled up inside you, or was it excitement? What was what was the feeling that you got? Can you remember?
Yeah, I think it was awe,
Yeah.
That's something that a lot of people talk about now. It's a bit of an aha moment, where you kind of, because it was unexpected, I didn't really know. I knew where we were going. I knew we were going to Sossus Vlei, and we were going to see the red dunes and all of that stuff, which is incredible in itself. But because I had I didn't have an expectation or an understanding of what we'd see from, that time in the morning, that was it, kind of gives you a sense of belonging and a sense of peace, I think, maybe, because we're so quiet. That's the other thing about Namibia, is you can stand there. They say it's so quiet it hurts your ears almost.
Wow.
It's so quiet it's loud, and that's what it was like, just looking at those stars in absolute silence, all on my own. That was the other thing, I was on my own, because all the other guests were still in their rooms getting ready.
Those transformative travel experiences can often be when you set out with intention and stuff, but what you're actually saying is that was a moment of just shock, sudden, an awe-inspiring moment. And that's also, I think, transformative, because it just hit you and you realized at the moment. It's funny because there's a book by, it's called Why We Travel.
Yeah.
If I remember in the editing process, I'll put the link in. But it's very good. There's a whole chapter on awe and awe-inspiring.
Yes.
And I think that is a part of why we travel, is for that feeling of awe. And sometimes maybe it just comes when you least expect it.
Yeah, yeah. I think often it is something that, if you plan a big trip and you look at all the things you want to experience and you create this bucket list, I think often the transformative or the incredible experience is not what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
It kind of gets you, like you say, you kind of, you have no expectation or anticipation to see or experience that. And then when you do, it's that's the moment that sticks with you,
For sure.
Mm.
Nice.
Okay. You give us your third transformative travel moment.
Well, I was racking my brain because fortunately I've had such incredible experiences over the years in Africa. And ones that came to mind were the three big hikes that I did in East Africa: Kilimanjaro, Aldonyo Lingai, volcano, which was, that was awe-inspiring, being at the top there and looking down in the volcano.
Yes.
After that insanely different hike, Mount Meru, because of what it meant for Jules and the family. But it made me realize how much I love hiking and walking.
Yes. Absolutely.
And just that's when I said to you, I know what it is. And I'll tell you what it is. It was when I was a young boy. I was just 12, or I was just under 12. But my mother took me on a 4-day rhino trekking experience. Wow. Through Mkhuzi Game Reserve in KwaZulu-Natal. And they had to get special permission, and then,
because you were underage?
I wasn't underage, but I think it was...
under limit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked underage, maybe.
Yeah. I can see your mother phoning them. He's well behaved.
Yeah, such a good
boy. I promise he'll do... He won't run.
Well, the funny thing is, I even remember the guide's name. I think it was Rob Block.
Yeah.
And I remember him, like, sitting me down. My mother was there. And he was like, okay, for these next 5 days, I am fully responsible for your son. Please don't listen. Like, if you need instructions or if there's a situation, first look to me.
Okay.
Not to your mother. Don't worry. I said, I know my mother in these situations because... There was that time in Vic Falls when we were there, when we came across the big elephant on our bicycles, and my mother just
hightailed out of there.
And it happened, I think it was a year before that, and
brilliant.
But yeah, it was, I think, for so many reasons, transformative, because I remember so much of it, and I was only 11, 12 years old, and I remember the wilderness experience of it, the camping and the excitement of going, like, we are on an adventure out to track rhino.
Yeah.
Track them, find them, be in their presence.
Amazing.
We were with only a small number of adults, and we were just walking most of the morning, most of the afternoon.
Yeah.
And that probably had a real transformative moment in my life, because somehow I knew that I was going to be involved in Africa in my life somewhere or another.
Yeah.
I know I wanted to be an ornithologist when I was getting into birding as a youngster, but you have to be bright and academic to get that, so that wasn't going to work. At one point, I thought I was going to be a guide.
Yeah.
You know, so that was my moment. Mm. And
so that, just to highlight on that experience, because it's a wilderness trail, right, which means you... camp out and you're staying out, there's no road access or anything like that. You're kind of really out in the wilderness.
Yes,
right?
And that's the one we were speaking about in our KwaZulu-Natal special with
Mamani. Exactly.
And we came to the realization today
that's
what we're going to do next year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Is it called the Mkhuzi Mfolozi?
Yes. Something hike.
Wilderness.
I mean, what is amazing about it is that you can't... The experience of being out there without any roads, vehicles, that sort of thing, is really incredible, because it really does get you back to nature. I think in your case, really helped to plant that seed for your love for the African bushveld, right?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, which is obviously there's many touch points, but that obviously shaped your love for Africa and kind of helped push you into the industry and the sector where you are now today in some way, you know.
Yeah.
It's all these small moments, these small travel moments that really shaped your future, which is incredible.
And it says a lot to people with young kids, you know, family travel.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, you can really imprint something positive on on your child's life.
Yeah, it's a good point.
An appreciation of nature, outdoors, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, I think the sun hasn't set, but it's behind the mountains, too.
Yeah.
Which means it's time for us to
have
open those beers that you've got in your backpack.
I have beers in my backpack?
This is what we've always set out to do with Inspiring African Travel, and that was just to always keep it as a platform that's genuine and fun. We're not commercial. We're not trying to produce episodes that will... get people clicked and
or sell paid, something.
Sell, you know. And remember, we were talking for ages, and that's when I contacted you and I said, I've got it, Stu. It's something that we love to talk about.
Yeah.
We were talking all day today in the car about things that change our life, things that make us tick, why we do things, why we don't do things. And we love travel in Africa. And I think it's just going to be so fun and interesting talking to people, getting deep as to what makes them tick, why things change us, why is Africa so special when you travel around here.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately, we want to do what the podcast says, you know, inspire people to really travel and consider Africa, and for those who live here, to get out more, maybe.
Yeah.
Or those that are living in foreign countries or even selling Africa, you know, to just remember there's so much to explore and see, and to, you know, the stories should bring that out so that people can have a better understanding as to how truly unique the experience is and what's on offer, without selling like a sales pitch.
Nah, because it's not.
No. No.
Great. All right. Thanks, Dooch. Well, yeah, thanks again for organizing this trip. And
great. Well, let's listen. And I'm looking forward to seeing what all these other guest speakers are going to have to say about their transformative experiences. And I think at the end of the discussion, when we circle back around, we're going to have some really cool insights.
We definitely
and,
will.
And some interesting things to think about. So, yeah, I can't wait.
Great. Thanks, Bert.
Cool. Next one.
Now, we actually have come to a river which might not be crossable.
No, we might just have to sit here and have up here.